And I'm doing the second part in a series on Ephesians chapter 4. And it was about a month ago I did the last one, so you may remember it or you may not remember it. But I want to ask you a question. We see spring is all around as we go outside. Can I ask you a question? Are you walking in newness of life? Today we're going to look at that question as we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and part 2. And I've tentatively called this Living the New Life in Christ. And the background to the book of Ephesians is chapter 4 is viewed as what's called a proof text. What is a proof text? It contains key ideas about Christianity. It's a really important chapter. It tells us that following Jesus involves change in how we live. Living the new life in Christ. And not only is Ephesians 4 a proof text, it's one of the pillars of the church. It has key principles of the faith. So let's look at the background here. What's going on at Ephesians 4? Well, Paul had lived in Ephesus and served the church there for 3 years in AD 52 to 55. And we know this from Acts 19. And 7 or 8 years have passed. And Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus because there's some of the old believers, but there's also lots of new believers there as well. And the context of this verse that we're going to look at, verse 17, it starts with the word therefore. And whenever you look at scripture, when you see the word therefore, you need to look back at what it's there for. And the context of this starts in verse 1. Paul has said to the Ephesians that they should walk worthy of their calling. So let's have a quick recap. Last time I came, we looked at Ephesians 7 to 16. In verse 7 to 10, it tells us that Jesus gives grace to each of us. He gives spiritual gifts, and they're all important to serve one another and to bring him glory. In 11 to 12, Jesus gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to the church for the equipping of the saints and for the work of service and for the building up of the body of Christ, the church. And then in 13 to 16, Paul says that there are 3 goals. The first is to grow in our knowledge of Christ, growing knowing him. Second, we're to avoid false teaching. And the third goal is that we will become mature in Christ. We will become like Christ, Christ-likeness. So today we're going to look at 17 to 24. And there's 3 points that I want to look at in this passage. The first point is we want to look at the life before Christ. Do you remember your life before Christ? Then we're going to look at, secondly, what does it actually mean to live out a new identity in Christ? And then thirdly, we're going to touch on a new lifestyle in Christ. There are our 3 points. And in this passage, you're going to see that there's themes about truth and lies, about grace and about renewal, personally and corporately. And you're going to see a contrast between the old and the new. So, Father God, I pray that we open our minds, open our hearts, and will you let your Holy Spirit reveal the truths in your word to us this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. So the first point, life before Christ, verses 17 to 19. In verse 1, Paul said to the Ephesians, you need to walk worthy of your calling. And in verse 17, Paul says, you're no longer to be like the Gentiles, but you're to turn from ungodly thinking and an immoral lifestyle, and then you will be worthy of your calling. There's things obviously happening in this church. And the first thing I want to point out is Gentiles. When Paul talks about Gentiles, he's talking about unbelievers. Once we were unbelievers. And Paul lists 8 descriptions about the old life before they knew Jesus. It was a life apart from God. It was empty and meaningless, he says in verse 18. Their thoughts were foolish, their minds were darkened, and their hearts were hardened, and their life was full of sin. And this explains how intelligent, well-educated people can be deceived about God. And Paul goes on and he says they were ignorant of the ways of God, so much so that they become callous. That's a very interesting word he's used there. What does it mean? It means they became desensitized to sin. It means that they would sin and not even realize they were sinning. And their lives were oriented towards self-indulgence, promiscuity, and greed. They turned from God. They were separate from God and the source of life. And they're the 8 things that he lists here. And then he adds, but you're not to live like this anymore. And in fact, that list is our experience of how we all lived before we knew Jesus. And that's the first point, the life before Christ. And I want to just explain a couple of things. What does hardness of heart mean? It means rebellion against God. It means that you've turned away from God. You can be ignorant of God in a sense that really you don't know him. If you don't know God, you don't know the ways of God. They don't know him personally. And then sin. Sin can be deceptive. It makes us think that what's harmful is what's best for us. Isn't that crazy? What's harmful is best for us. Sin makes us think this. And it's not only deceptive, but it's destructive. Sin is also addictive. And it can be self-inflicted. We can give ourselves over to sin and not even know this. And we can slip back into sin very easily. Unless we're connected to Jesus. And all of us are oriented towards ourselves if we're not oriented towards God. Next, Paul turns to how the Ephesians should live. And this is the second point. They have a new identity, verses 20 to 21. And Paul's words here are specifically for believers. He's talking to the church. And Paul reminds the Ephesians of the sin and struggle that unbelievers carry because they don't know Jesus. And Paul also says that where sin abounds, grace abounds greater. Paul reminds the Ephesians about their new identity and their new way of life, shaped by Jesus and according to his teaching. And here he contrasts their old sinful practices when they were unbelievers with what they were taught now as Christians. Paul trained them himself in the gospel. They would know right from wrong. And they didn't learn Jesus in a way that promotes sin. And Paul says to them, you learned Christ. You were taught in him. What were they taught? That becoming a Christian involves radical, continual change. First, it starts with conversion on the human side, and then a recreation on God's side, what he does for us. And note here in verse 20, the emphasis on you. Paul's saying, you learned Christ. You heard him. What does it mean to learn Christ? It means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? What does it mean to learn Christ? It means that you learn about Jesus through his word, the word of God. You learn about Christ through prayers where you speak to him in his name. And we can learn about Christ because he's alive. He's the living God. But the enemy will lie to you. He'll deceive you and he'll try and make you doubt your new identity, who you are in Christ. It's real. It's a real thing. It's not a metaphor. The new identity is who you are. And there's a profound difference between what you were and who you are now. This is what Paul is saying to the church. And this new identity, what does that mean? It means our true self. Our true self. It's based on our relationship to Jesus. That's who we are. And one day, I'd left my job and I didn't have another job to go to at that time. And I realized that I'd based all of my identity on my job. And it wasn't there anymore. I didn't have the status. I didn't have anything that came with the job, the title. And I'm there thinking, what's my worth? And I'm praying one day and I'm asking Jesus, Lord, what is my value now? I don't have a job. And do you know what he said? Your value is that I love you. That is my identity. And that's your identity, that you are loved by Jesus Christ. Our new identity in Christ requires us to change from the old to the new, to change in our thinking and our conduct. And it's our relationship with Jesus that changes us. We all have heard the truth of the gospel. We've come to know about Jesus. And what Paul is saying here is it's not about trying to change. It's about understanding the truth in Jesus. That's what changes us. And a changed life is freedom from the power of sin. What Paul's saying is, as unbelievers, we didn't realize we were under a power of sin. And we came to Christ and our lives were changed. And we received freedom. And change comes when our life conforms to our new identity in Christ. When what we do in the day-to-day life matches our identity, our new identity in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth and life go together. You believe God's truth and you receive God's life. And the ultimate truth can only be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the second point, our new identity. Third point, the new lifestyle. Because we have a new identity, this follows that we will have a new lifestyle. 22 to 24 talks about a contrast between the old life and the new life. And Paul says that our relationship in Christ and our new identity in him and allowing the Holy Spirit to change our thinking is how we align our lifestyle to our new identity. Did you get that? Our relationship with Christ, a daily relationship, our identity in Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to change our thinking every day means that we align our lifestyle with that identity in Christ. And Paul then goes on to say, the simpler way of understanding it is that there's just three steps. First, take off the old self, the old life. Secondly, be renewed in your mind. And thirdly, put on the new self created in Christ. And that happened when you said yes to Jesus. That happens each day when you say yes to Jesus. That's what enables us to live according to our identity in Christ. That's how people know we belong to Jesus. So first, let's go into this in a bit more detail. We take off, we discard, the Amplified Bible says, the old, unrenewed life, the sinful nature, our former way of life that is corrupted by lust and deception. That's what the New Living Translation says. But the actual Greek says perishing. We take off the old life. It's perishing. And what is this old self? It's our old way of thinking. before we knew Christ. It's those old habits and lifestyle that we get into, the sinful traits that remain in us, that are influenced by our flesh and the power of sin, which has been defeated by Christ but not yet destroyed. It presents a daily challenge. And our old life is incompatible with the new. It's inconsistent with who we are in Christ now. And we cannot fully live the new life until we've taken off the old life. And some of us sometimes can be living in both camps. Part of us is in the old life, part of us is in the new life. We need to keep listening to the Holy Spirit to be changing our minds and moving from the old life. And let me give you an example. We're to put off bitterness, rage, anger, shouting, slander, and malice. These all belong to the old life. And it's a bit like getting dressed each morning, or at night we take off the old, dirty clothes, and in the morning we put on the new, clean, fresh clothes. And this is a daily thing that we do. Paul is saying to them, this isn't a once conversion. This is a daily thing we need to do every single day. Take off bitterness. Put it away. Rage, anger, shouting, slander, malice. And we'll talk about that a bit more next time. That's the first point. The second point, we need to be continually renewed in the spirit of our mind, verse 23. The New Living Translation puts it like this: let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes every day. Now, physically, we are what we eat. Spiritually, we are what we think. And this is why Paul is talking about renewing the mind. And Paul says to the Ephesians that what is needed is not simply a change in thinking. It goes deeper than this. It's not just a change in our citizenship from the earth to heaven. It goes deeper than this. What's needed is a recreation. It requires transformation by God and a renewing in the Holy Spirit. And real change is impossible without a relationship with Jesus. So Paul says, put away every part of the old life, the old self. And what's he saying here? It's a call of repentance. Those old bits that you don't need anymore, turn away from them and turn back to God and let him change you. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of direction back to God. And then change comes through repentance. So we are recreated. There's a recreation that God does. Repentance is what we do. We turn away, and that's by his grace. And as we surrender all of our heart, all of our lives to God, he renews our mind. And this is a lifelong process. But it starts off with baptism. So to summarize, Paul is saying to the Ephesians, stop living like people who don't know God. Put off the old, put on the new, and start living like people who please God. Don't live like you don't know God. Thirdly, put on the new clothes created in Christ. The regenerate self, the renewed self, the new nature created in the likeness of Jesus Christ in righteousness and holiness of truth, verse 24. This new self is not just a renewal of the old self, it's a new creation. Paul says that you are a new creation. You've been created to reflect Christ. Christ is holy and righteous. When you came to Jesus, you became holy and righteous. Holy means set apart for God. But the enemy will lie to you and say, that's not you. You can't be righteous. It's a lie. Jesus says, You are holy and righteous because you're in me. So clothe yourself with Christ. Put on Christ-like thoughts and attitudes. Put on kindness and compassion, forgiving one another. And live as new creations in Christ, being transformed into Christ-likeness. And that's what Paul's saying in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. Next time we're going to look at Ephesians 4, 25 to 5, verse 2. And that's the last part in this mini-series. And it's going to look at the practicalities. How do we practically live that out in everyday life? So that's what Paul said to the Ephesians then. What's he saying to you now? Well, this week I've been thinking a lot about grace, as I mentioned, but I've also been thinking about my own walk with God. Am I walking in newness of life? And I have to say that I've concluded I'm not where I need to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Praise God. There's more. And you may have been a Christian for 30 and 40 years, but there's more. There's more that he wants to do to make us more like Jesus every single day. We are new creations, but there is a battle of the mind taking place. There are the lies, the doubts from the enemy. So put on the armor of God every single day. Put on your helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You've got in your hand the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and on your arm the shield of faith. Around your middle is the belt of truth, and you walk in the shoes of peace. In Jesus Christ, he goes before us. He fights our battle. This week, I went for a walk with Mowley, a bit of a prayer walk and a bit of discipling. Mowley discipled me. Thank you, brother. And there was a point where we were talking about things, and Mowley reminded me, he's the God of the universe who created everything. Is there anything he cannot do? And the answer to that is no, there's nothing he can do. And we were praying for Sandy Church, and what's stopping this church from growing in Christ, knowing Christ? And Mowley challenged me, if he's the God of the whole universe, is there nothing he can do? What's stopping us as a church? And I had to think about that. I didn't want to give an immediate answer, that's a good question. And I came away thinking, it's just my lack of faith. It's not God. So let us be bold in our faith. If God created anything, if he created everything, can he not change us into the image of his son, into the likeness of Christ? So what I wanted to do, as we can do as a church and we can do individually, is an exercise that I've done on Psalm 139. And you need courage if you're going to pray this psalm, but it's a good psalm to pray. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, Lord, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And you can pray that to the Lord and ask him to reveal to you your heart, your mind, if there's anything that he wants you to change. And we're going to have a song of reflection coming up where you can pray that through. But I've got three questions that I've come up with that I'd like to ask you. And these are rhetorical. These are for us to think about. First question. Are you letting the Holy Spirit constantly renew your thoughts and attitudes? Secondly, what clothes are you wearing? Are they old clothes, new clothes? Or a combination of old and new clothes? What do you need to take off or discard that belongs to the old nature, the old self? And that's what we're going to pray through with the song of reflection that's coming up. So in conclusion, we've looked at Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 24, the contrast between the old and the new life, the old self and the new self in Christ. And I would summarize it like this, that we've been called to live different from the world and a lifestyle different from the past. And friends, in light of what Jesus has done for all of us, should we not walk worthily of the Lord? And therefore, put off the old and put on the new. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for your grace. I thank you that the truth is in Jesus. I thank you that we can learn Christ, that we can know him personally. Isn't that amazing? And that we can know him better every day. Lord, I ask you to help us to let the Holy Spirit renew our thoughts and to reshape our attitudes and to cultivate a Christ-like character in us and fill us again with a newness of life. And I pray this for everyone here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And I've deliberately chosen some new songs. It's spring, it's new life. And we've got one here that we had at college this week. And that's coming up after the next one. The next one is Jesus Paid It All. And as we listen to this, just pray through Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts and see if there is any offensive or hurtful way in me, and let me know, Lord. Or we can answer those questions. What do I need to take off? What do I need to renew in my mind, and what do I need to put on? And I pray, Lord, reveal this to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the song of reflection. Jesus paid it all. Thank you, Phil.